listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
This is O.T. and the Early Bird. Man, as we approach Easter weekend, let's not forget about Sheriff Marlon Guzman and his 12th annual Easter in the Park Easter egg hunt. And the day at the zoo, music, food, and games. Saturday, April 1st at the Audubon Riverview, the fly behind the Audubon Zoo, 10 to 1 p.m. The Easter egg hunt begins at 11. And let's not forget about the beef hotline, man. Lord knows we need the beef hotline. Brother Walter and Ronnie, Calvin Pep, Sister Michonne, Patrick, O.T., Ronald Coleman, Al Mims, and everybody who's participated in mediations in the beef hotline. Got Brother Roosevelt. Please call the beef hotline, 504-500-1706. Too much foolishness in our community right now that should be resolved. And don't forget tornado relief for elderly and disabled. Contact Councilmember James Gray's office, 658-1050, 504-658-1050. But let's get right into it. First of all, Jeff Thomas, thank you so much. Your blog, whether it's about relationships, man, I've read some of the stuff about sex and relationships.
How about that?
Five healthy point tips to healthy relationships, how we get along. It's not always just about these hard-hitting political topics. Really cover a lot of subjects for life that really make sense. Thank you for think504.com.
Well, thank you, OT. Thank you for having me here this morning. I tell you, it's always great. My website explodes with people who go to the website, so I want people today to do that again if you can. Go log on to think504.com. I mean, it really helps. And you're right. You know, what we try to do is we made our name maybe with writing political pieces, but I believe the holistic approach is what's going to make all of us better. I mean, we need to approach our families. We need to strengthen our families. And in fact, I believe the destruction of the black family is the critical, most important thing that we have to deal with. And all of this stuff that we're going to talk about today is based upon that premise.
In reading your agenda today, and for our listening audience, 504-260-9265, I think as a hard-hitting, as profound, pointed, and on point, as much as you've made us think, I think today's agenda that you have, this ought to be highlighted on CNN, World News Tonight, ABC Nightline. For all of our listening audience, Jeff Thomas's agenda today is absolutely on point. I think it touches it touches every aspect of our life. I got well to come back to talk about these subjects today, and I'm serious, man.
Well, let me tell you guys, for listening on this, he's in here, you know, during the commercial break, he is suffering. He's taking cough drops.
I actually feel better than I look or sound. But I'm going to start off with, the governor's tax package and his quote about what the budget ought to be. I'm going to read it, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, sounds good.
Our problem is easy to identify. We're operating on a broken, outdated structure. Edwards said at an afternoon press conference at the Capitol. The central piece of this plan involves leveling the playing field that has been unfairly tilted towards the big guy. Now, before you get into this, you have contended that it's not just the governor's budget, that the federal budget has been tilted towards the big guy. We see that now more than ever.
No doubt.
City government and the local governments have been tilted towards the big guy.
Absolutely correct.
This is a heavy piece.
Yes, it is.
So you're saying that the government right now is their budgets are not about servicing the public or the people that elect them.
Let me tell you what I'm saying.
I'm saying that
we have to upset the apple cart. I'm saying the reason that Donald Trump got elected, the reason that Barack Obama got elected is because people started to believe in change. Because people understand that the way government is structured right now in the United States, in Louisiana, in New Orleans, in Orleans Parish, is wrong. I mean, it
has nothing
outdated
to do with services to people.
It's outdated and broke. It's a broken and outdated structure.
Top to bottom.
Top to bottom. And so what's happened for black people in New Orleans is what I'd like to focus on. I mean, there are a myriad of facts that we could discuss about why it's broken.
So you're saying whether it's working class whites, whether it's the middle class, as foolish as they are with their vote.
Right.
But specifically, when you're focusing on urban communities mm-hmm. and African American communities specifically, city budgets, state budgets, and federal budgets have nothing to do with servicing those communities.
Not only do they have anything not to do with servicing them, they are designed to deliver mass incarceration. They are designed to deliver punitive services.
Hold on a second.
They're designed to extract wealth from these communities.
Hold on a second, Jeff Thomas.
Yes, sir.
We have a $1 trillion federal budget. Mm-hmm. We have $1 billion state budget.
Mm-hmm.
We have a approaching more than a half a $1 billion a local budget here. Mm-hmm. And you're saying mm-hmm. that those budgets are not only are they not constructed to service, mm-hmm. they're punitive.
Correct. And they're
explain.
Lots of ways. Let's start with the state budget of $2 billion.
Okay.
You and I have argued about this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people agree with me, but I want to do a couple of I told you so's. Last year when we were doing the show prep, I looked at our notes. We talked about closing prisons mm-hmm. to reduce incarceration and to save money. Right? And closing prisons. And so now, I don't, just recently you had Judge Hunter on, and just recently you had another group on who were in the governor's commission on closing or reducing the prison population. Part of the reason that government is outdated and broken in the South is the 13th Amendment. After the Civil War, what happened was the Southern economy was in tatters. And, you know, I'm sure people have seen the movie 13. It's on Netflix. It's on
mm-hmm,
it's on demand. And if you haven't seen it, please go see it. And if you saw it, go look at it again, because I watched it again last night just to refresh myself on it. And so what happened after the Civil War was the destruction of the Southern economy, and they needed a way to bring poor blacks into the economy, and they needed to do it in a way that would allow them to continue to have free labor. And so what the 13th Amendment does is, of course, it eliminates slavery, except for in the what's the exception? If you're a criminal. So if you go to jail, then you are now allowed to be a slave again. And that has been the basis of the economy. That has been where, pardon me, I'm getting like you.
Okay.
That has been where we have focused the attention of government. And so we have policies built upon this sadistic notion that we need as many people incarcerated as possible. That gives people slave labor, and that's what happened after the 13th Amendment. That's what you saw after the Civil War. And I'm saying to you this. And gathering my thoughts here, I should have mm-hmm. been better prepared. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that the reason we have such a broken and outdated system is that it's based upon the notion that we need to extract money from poor families in Orleans Parish.
So wait. So you're saying that governments now have been constructed in a way
mm-hmm.
that even when you talk about protecting police enforcement,
mm-hmm.
Public safety,
mm-hmm.
fire,
mm-hmm.
education,
mm-hmm.
parks and recreation, all
mm-hmm.
of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
You are saying that the way budget has devolved, I'll say it's devolved.
I agree.
It's
yes.
devolved.
Mm-hmm.
The majority function right now is about criminal injustice,
mm-hmm.
is about mass incarceration. You say it trumps, it trumps. All of those, trumps all of those issues in terms of delivery of service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But no, I'm thinking right now because okay. the report that was done on Ferguson,
mm-hmm.
or Ferguson, Missouri.
That's right.
Even with the tragedy of Michael Brown,
mm-hmm.
the Justice Department report of viewing how they manage their budget in terms of criminal justice and fines and fees and penalties, I kept telling people, you know, it's sad what happened to Michael Brown, but that budget about how they collect funds is similar to what's happening in cities and places all across America. And you're saying that is not just happens chance.
Right. Let me tell you.
Don't Jeff Thomas now.
Yes, sir.
You know, I try not to be a conspiracy theory guy.
Right.
But you're saying that this is a national a federal, a statewide, and a local, a national effort?
Yeah. Let me explain. This is a devolution, not an evolution, in the black experience in America. And you know, we talked a lot of times in the past about these different biases, right? We mm-hmm. talked about narrative bias. We talked about confirmation right. bias and implicit bias. Well, let's talk about how these things affect us today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we spent hours in the past talking about how these different biases.
But a bigger budget should give us more police officers, more fire, more teachers, right? More parks. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that given the way they're constructed, it's never going to give you that. The only thing it's ever going to give you is more prisons, more jails, more incarceration.
Right. Well, that's exactly the way it's structured. Here's the deal. Mass incarceration needs a constant influx of criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And so our approach to ending crime and violence in mm-hmm. New Orleans is to incarcerate people. And you, on the surface, you think that's what's right, right? That's the narrative bias. Mm-hmm. When lock them up and throw away the key. That's the way you deal with crime. But the facts point out otherwise. The facts point out that this is a destructive policy, that this policy causes crime, that this policy fuels the constant mass incarceration of people. And this is why. When you put people in jail for just minor offenses, for just a short period of time, mm-hmm. their lives tend to spiral out of control. If you put people in jail for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, a year, mm-hmm. what happens is families are destroyed because mm-hmm. if it's the male breadwinner who is mm-hmm. Knocked out of the family, then all of a sudden you have the financial resources going, you have the fatherly advice going, you have the paternal guy going. That is taken away from the family, and that's what incarceration has done. When you put people in jail for long periods of time, that creates this cycle longer and longer. And so what continues to go on is a repetitive cycle based upon putting people in jail. So putting people in jail is the problem. Let me just say one thing. Mm. Crime is not a police problem. Crime is not a police problem. Police do not prevent crime. Police, I mean, they show up after crimes happen, 99% of the time. Occasionally, they happen to be there. We cannot have...
It's called law enforcement, right. Not law prevention.
That's correct. And so the hiring more police will do nothing to solve crime. The most important thing we have to understand, and that's been, well, this is where I'm getting to. This is my important point. And that is that we have an outdated, broken system. We think that we should hire more police officers to solve crime. We should not. We should invest more resources into building up families. We should invest more resources. And so what we've had is instead of building up families, we've had the destruction of families. We have had people, families, fathers who've been taken away from their families for short periods of time, for long periods of time. And when that happens, families deteriorate. And so, you know, listen, there are some great single mothers who do great things, but the majority of people who are involved in crime come from broken families.
I want to dig a little deeper into this report, 504-260-9265, because in reading your initial report, mm-hmm. And I read it, it was really, really profound, really in-depth.
Mm-hmm.
You say basically that the way the government is structured today at every level,
mm-hmm.
in giving breaks to corporations, mm-hmm. great breaks to business interests, breaks to
right.
to
who we are supporting big are big guys. That's right.
Right.
And who we're penalizing are small guys. And so what happens is businesses, corporations grow fat. They get the breaks. They get the support from government.
Public policy supports that.
Public policy supports that. And public policy also supports the destruction of black families. Now, also for white families, but I'm focused on black
right.
families. Public policy supports the destruction of black families through law enforcement. That is what has happened in this country.
Okay, Jeff Thomas, wait a second now, man. So you're contending that these budget structures they have to be blown up.
Absolutely. We have to upset the apple cart. We have an outdated, broken structure in government. It no longer serves the people. In fact, it is continuing to increase crime. That's the reason we have murders in the street today, because of the government structure. I'm telling you, let me tell you something, Oliver. This may be, you know, cutting edge. This may be making you think. I want you to think about this. You're backing up, and I want you to stay close with me.
I'm back. You're out there.
I'm out there, and let me tell you, I believe not only am I am. Let me tell you something. Last year, when I said we should close prisons to reduce crime, and we have mass incarceration, now we got a government study saying it. I'm telling you.
Well, they said that in 1975 in Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow. They said that then.
That's right. And I'm telling you right now, the problem is government supports people who have money. Government supports big businesses, and government penalizes. And with my focus on poor black men and just black people in general, you don't have to be poor, you just have to be black. And because it needed to build up the economy in the South, and that is where the genesis of it. And so what we have today is this notion, this narrative bias that what you should do is lock them up and throw away the key. And so then you have confirmation bias that plays into that. Go ahead. You want to say?
Yeah. I'm going to get right back to. So if nothing else, the governor, John Bel Edwards, should be given credit basically to say that he's admitting that this structure is broken and outdated.
Yes, he is.
But what you're saying is that it's not just the state structure.
That's right.
The city structure is broken and outdated. The federal structure is broken out. The purpose of government is they may have their charters and their missions, but their reasons for existing are a lot different than what they contend.
That's correct. Absolutely correct. I think people get involved. You know, whenever you talk to – I talk to a lot of young people who are talking about running for office. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they have these pure intentions and this innocence of, I just want to help people. I want to make things better. And then they get involved. And
you're part of the system.
Part of the system. Exactly right. Instead, now it's important, Oliver, we're wiping the slate clean. Mm-hmm. We're getting a whole new city government. It's going to be critically important that we bring in the kinds of people who are going to be willing to upset the apple cart. I'm telling you, if we don't do it, we need to make New Orleans a sanctuary city. A sanctuary city for black men. That's what needs to happen. If we do that, crime will go away. I promise.
Okay, now. We've gotten the first foundation of this reporter study that you've done.
Okay.
And you're saying that the Brookings Institute report actually supports your theory.
Absolutely, absolutely, positively. Look at the Brookings Institute. New Orleans ranks in the middle in inclusion. It ranks in the middle toward the bottom in growth. And it ranks dead last in prosperity. And why is that?
Dead last.
Dead last. Out of the Brookings Institute ranked 100 people. I mean, 100 cities. New Orleans came in 100. Last, dead last, absolutely. And
even with all of the big press conferences and the good news and all the one world on one side of the tracks, on the other side of the track, there's a whole other reality.
Let me tell you something. We got a mayor who came in saying he knew what to do and how to do it, and he did it exactly wrong. He has focused. I mean, what is the most important thing? What he's come up with is this narrative bias that we are a violent people in New Orleans, that we got this culture of violence. That is a lie.
That's a pretty profound statement, because you think psychologically and public policy wise.
Exactly.
If you lead with that.
Exactly.
Then you have
then
to
you
do things.
Then you fund police. And then you hire more police officers. And then you get a DA who wants to put everybody in jail. Dead people even. It doesn't matter. You have all kinds. You have a focus on mass incarceration. You have a belief that people need to be put in jail. And because of this, our families have been destroyed.
Jeff Thomas, you're on fire. Our lines are lit up. I want you to slow down.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're passionate about this. You've spent some time on this. You're saying that the way budgets are constructed now has nothing to do with delivery of service or investing in people. Let me tell you why. I'm walking with you. I'm thinking about some interviews that I've done. We've had we just had the former U.S. Attorney Ken Polite on here.
I heard him.
We've had the head of
great.
DEA, Steve Azan. We've had some heavy hitters on here. And you're saying that if it was budgeted the right way, it would be solutions to the onslaught or the proliferation of drugs and guns. You wouldn't have the punishment on the back end. You would have programs that would help people. So you're saying it's being assaulted on both ends.
Right, and I'm saying our biases are
caught in the middle.
Our biases is what's driving us, because we believe the narrative bias of this culture of
violence. Someone was just elected with a tough on crime whose job has nothing to do with crime.
Exactly right. And that's been what has happened in America. I mean, you know, you have George Bush who used crime. You have Ronald Reagan who used crime.
Well,
you have Bill Clinton
even Barack
who
Obama,
used crime.
When Barack Obama was elected, he increased the budget for the Department of Corrections.
And let me tell you something. If we continue to do that, we're going to have a continued downward spiral in terms of crime.
Jeff Thomas, you're sounding like Ralph Nader did 45 years ago.
That's the smart Ralph, not the cuckoo Ralph.
When Ralph Nader said that this criminal justice effort would begin to bankrupt local towns and communities.
We're living it now.
45 years ago.
We're living it now.
Wow, we're getting to the, Miss Line One, Miss Eloise, you're on with Jeff Thomas.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Miss Eloise.
Mr. Thomas, you're hitting the nail on the head.
Thank you, Miss Eloise. How are you today?
These things should have been addressed a long time ago. I come from that little place they call a cutoff. It's not so big if you wanna survey and observe what is going down. Mm-hmm. What has been going down for years. You know, we say we didn't have gangs. Yes, we did. We've been had gangs since the police been policing. Because in my community, the police led the gangs. The Christopher Home Posse, the Fisher Project Posse, the Cutoff Posse was led by officers. And they didn't care if they were in their uniform when they come behind these little boys to collect their royalty. They didn't care who saw them because they was the police. You know, who you going to report me to? Because I'm doing what I'm doing. Because I am the police. And we done had so many young men just slaughtered. If they say no, you might find them on the dump somewhere, burn up. Misuse and abuse. And we need people like you to talk the truth.
Well, thank you, Miss Eloise.
But I want to hear the truth.
Well, I know you've been through a lot, Miss Eloise. We know you have, and I got to tell you,
The lines are lit up, Miss Eloise. Yeah. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Jeff Thomas is basically saying what you said 20 years ago.
That's right.
This thought just came to mind.
Okay.
So you're saying that there are town halls, there are aldermen, there are councils, there are legislators, there's U.S. House of Representatives that are babysitting bad budgets.
Absolutely.
All over America.
Based on biases.
Babysitting bad budgets all over America.
Yes. All it takes is one person to be a leader in this policy bashing approach to criminal justice. And let me tell you what I mean. I'm going to use the same example I just used. When Mitch Landrieu got on TV and continues to get on TV and says we have a culture of violence in New Orleans. You believe that now? That's stoking the flames. So that what you think is, I hear that over and over again from the mayor, and then I see murders on TV. So I believe we need to hire more police.
Lines are lit
wrong.
Up, man.
Wrong.
504-260-9265.
We don't need more police
in New Orleans. We have too many police.
You're
contending, though, a national phenomenon. I think the Justice Department report solidifies what you're saying is that and I've told everybody should read that report. You're saying that what's happening with government right now is an effort to keep people in poverty, to keep communities violent, and to extract
the wealth from those communities.
And to extract the wealth from those communities.
Absolutely.
Powerful
correct.
Contentions, Jeff happens. Thomas. Line two, Alvin, you're on with Jeff Thomas, man.
Hey, morning. Good morning,
Big Al.
I want to give some examples and talk about what you were saying about businesses are incentivized and working people and poor people are penalized. Because the first example I'm going to use right quick so I can get to the next one to the point is just like credit. We have, and I use myself as an example. You know, when I had problematic credit, I had problematic interest rates and problematic issues getting stuff. And it was told to me a long time ago during some entrepreneurial classes, banks only lend money to people who don't need it. So, yeah, even though I need it, but I have to show on paper that I don't need it. Mm-hmm. So, in turn, I started working on the credit. So I'm in the credit a little better, and now I'm getting approved for stuff that I really don't need. But I get it just because, you just never know.
Good point.
To go back to the business are incentivized and people are penalized. Now,
Great point, Alvin. I hope people listen.
Here in the ghetto, so you know how they talk about contracts and how people talk about where you can't fight the law. Because here's how you do that. When you incentivize the business, why not have the businesses have or some type of agreement along a group of particular businesses, i.e. service industry, since that's our main one here, where you have programs inside of your business. And that way, when you get incentivized, the more poor way, in turn, you have a group of employees that's actually working for you that you've been looking for and that you absolutely need and can help project your business even further, because now you don't have to worry about saying, well, I can't come bring business from Louisiana because y'all don't have the right people. Y'all don't have the right work type of people. You know what I'm saying? And then that, in turn, makes, or at least in my mind, it helps a person to want to go to work and want to do better, because the last one I go, because I'm going to split up. Mm-hmm. I look at the military. And when I was in the military, yeah, we had issues and problems, but one thing about Uncle Sam, Uncle Sam gave you initiatives and programs mm-hmm. to learn better and do better, so that way you can go up in the ranks, i.e. going from a private to a private, very fast, to a sergeant,
right.
so on
right.
and so forth.
Right, right, right. Lines are lit up, Big Al. Thank you. Alvin's analogy is actually... Mm-hmm. Perfect. It's spot on. And I wrote down a saying here is that it's actually where government is set up right now at every level. It's giving help to people and corporations and interests that actually don't need it.
That's right. That's right. And here's the thing.
And Alvin, your analogy was absolutely wonderful with credit.
Right. Absolutely. I love what Alvin said. And I want to, I think we have an understanding of what I believe the problem is. I want to talk to, you know, I say bad things about the mayor and I say bad things about the city council. I know you're going to take this call. But one thing I do want to say before you take it is there are some examples right now in the city of New Orleans where government is stopping that. And government is making changes. Desiree Charbonnet, Judge Robert Jones,
yeah.
they had a warrant court.
Absolutely, the warrant clinic. I talked about that earlier.
Absolutely right. And that's the kind of policies that we need.
Absolutely. I say we ought to have an amnesty program like
exactly
Mark
right.
had in the 90s.
Absolutely
amnesty
right.
for people. LaCroix Cantrell and I talked about
right.
that not too long ago.
Absolutely right.
Line one, Cedric, man. Jeff Thomas is on fire. Put him out, man, Lord. I think he's on to something. Talk to me, Brother Cedric.
Hey, good morning, OT and Jeff. I want to come from this as a conspiracy global type thing.
Okay.
As we look at technology, we look at the need for less people in the world. Mm-hmm. Could it be that the powers that be that control everything, they know they need less people, and so they don't really care about people. People are more disposable now. Because of technology.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
I mean, when
the
you
billionaire
at,
class.
I'm, this is serious. I'm looking at some scary stuff, mm-hmm. too. Have you heard of this stuff called echogenesis? You know, the baby, you know, the people form where they actually make people.
Ooh, wow.
No.
I got to do a little more research.
But Cedric, you think about the billionaire classes. I looked
right.
at a chart online the other day
mm-hmm.
that it was highlighting Trump's people in relationships. And the Russian relationships,
mm-hmm.
and how it was the oligarchs and the billionaires and all the billionaires that Trump has appointed,
mm-hmm.
along with a lot of the business interests that are ruling the world right now. It kind of lines up with your thoughts.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you know people are less educated,
mm-hmm.
and anytime you got people believing that coal is coming back, coal is like ancient, man. You know, there's stuff now that they keep hiding, like perpetual motion of energy, I mean, of electricity and all this kind of stuff, using turbines,
right.
and all that stuff works, man. So, you know, you got the people hoodwinking. At the same time, you kill them off with the food. You know, you give us food stamps. We buy food that's not healthy for us,
mm-hmm. that's
and
true.
It's killing us.
Good point.
I think people have become. I don't think people are important to the oligarchs, as you call them.
Thank you, Cedric. Good point. You know, what I really liked about reading your report and preparing today was that I saw the direct relationship in terms of what you were saying. And I thought about this just as a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if criminal justice and law enforcement and mass incarceration
mm-hmm.
and penalties, you know, tax increase here, millage increase here, penalty here, fine here. You know, in many cases, we know that the fines, if people go to municipal traffic or criminal court, in many cases, the fines are actually in fee increases are more than the initial, fine. So the foundation of what I thought about, Jeff, and really want to get into when we get back into the Brookings Institute report is that
great.
If government was there to help you,
mm-hmm.
then it wouldn't be extracting the life source in terms of what you need away from you.
It would be
investing it.
People
in
understand that, which is why they're against more taxes, and that's why Trump was elected, and that's why we need to make some changes here in New Orleans.
Wow. We'll be back with Jeff Thomas after the break, man. WBOK, the type of profound conversations that you're not going to have on any other station, speaking truth to power, challenging the status quo. a real candid conversation with Jeff Thomas about how budgets are structured today at every level to hurt people, not to help people. We'll be back after the break.
You are now listening to the radio station that's keeping it real. WBOK 1230 AM, where it's real talk for real time. You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. Oliver O.T. Thomas, the early bird, entire WBOK listening audience, right in the middle of a conversation for the ages about government's budget today. What is its real purpose? Is it to help citizens with service?
Right.
Or is it what government is used for today to take care of government, take care of special interests, take care of the big guy, while punishing the little guy? Well, first of all, let's do our disclaimer. We are in no way saying that law enforcement, the right kind of justice is not necessary. Okay. And I'll say what I said during the break. Leave my roach smoking, frozen cup selling, illegal parking, barbecuing at the second line, but alone.
Right.
And get the killers off the street.
Right, right. Exactly right.
Get the killers off the street.
Right, definitely. Anybody that, let me just say this for you. I'll put it to you in a way that I think any violent criminal that we can prove is a violent criminal needs to be arrested and go to jail.
But stop harassing me because I got jammed in front of a traffic camera and I stopped and it still took my picture, so you're taking me to court.
And let me tell you that.
Go get the killer.
That creates violent criminals. That's the problem. That is the problem.
Line one, Big Al, you're on with Jeff Thomas.
Hey, Jeff, listen, you just took the thunder from me. Take the killers. Look, it's been a week since we buried the Monique and her sons, and I've carried the bodies there. Somebody know what's going on. We need to be about making our community safe. And let me tell you something. Negroes going to have to be bussed into this city because we're not going to be able to live here no more. I heard Peter Sharp, and that's my friend, Peter Sharp. But I tell him, he's talking about Mitch, a nice guy. He make him wobble, but he ain't nothing about administration. You have a great day, man.
Thank you.
504-260-9265. Lines are lit up. Profound conversation. I want to get into this Brookings report.
Okay, yeah.
The report, because it really lays the foundation for your theory about how government budgets right now are counterproductive to helping in areas of poverty, mm-hmm. areas of need, mm-hmm. areas of service delivery. Mm-hmm. And your contention is that the federal budget, state budget, and local budget wouldn't be so overweighted in terms of criminal injustice if it was intended to help people.
Listen, the cities that are at the top of the Brookings mm-hmm. Institute have more money in their budgets devoted to services than to police.
Wow.
That is the bottom line.
Let's get to line two. Brother Eric, you're on with Jeff Thomas in a very profound, necessary discussion.
Yeah, God bless you all. In terms of taxes, I know they're talking about the state is increasing taxes to improve roads. Is there a more creative, innovative way to generate revenue as opposed to just taxing people, or are they just taking the lazy way out to generate revenue?
No, absolutely. Let's not forget about the studies that came out that showed that hundreds of millions of dollars were left with big oil companies.
Absolutely.
Under Bobby Jindal. Another way that you can create growth is creating an environment in a government structure where people will invest, businesses will invest a little bit depending on the towns they go into infrastructure. Developments are created like that. When developers pick out a plot of land, mm-hmm. guess who pays, who partners with government for the infrastructure?
Business.
Developers and business
right.
does that.
Right.
But what Jeff is contending is that government has taken the easy way out
mm-hmm. right.
because its plan has nothing to do with delivery of service.
None.
His plan has to do with hoarding cash, mm-hmm. underwriting opportunities for major corporations, mm-hmm. and taking advantage of poor people, specifically poor black people.
That's right. And let me just say this. I said this before, Oliver. You cringe whenever I say this, but I got to say it again. And Eric, I hope you're not upset when I say this. But we have the dumbest white people in America, and because of that,
hold on, man. We got some good white people.
Listen. We do. Well, I'm talking statistically. I'm talking about when you look at education ranks. Where's
and how they vote?
When you look at educational ranking, where is Louisiana? less. When you look at IQ scores, where ACT scores, where does Louisiana
rank? When you look at who voted for Trump.
When you look at, what I'm saying to you is this. I'm not saying we got, I have some great friends who are white people who are extremely intelligent. And I'm talking about, I'm painting with a broad brush. When you talk about the state of Louisiana.
Jonah Plummer has no idea what he's doing.
When you talk about the state of Louisiana, when you compare it to the state of Texas, the educational outcomes in the state of Texas are in the top 10. The educational outcomes in the state of Louisiana are dead last. 49th, maybe Mississippi is worse. Who knows? But I tell you this. We haven't had enough intelligent legislation to understand that if you drive just across the border to Texas, you see infrastructure galore. You see highways on top of highways. You see people investing in their communities. And because of that, you have a growing population. You have an educated population. You have the kinds of people that make a difference. And they're not going to jail.
Eric,
they're reducing their prison populations in Texas.
Eric, I'll give you one statistic that in reading Jeff's report and doing some independent study, listen to this real close. This is how the state budget is structured. You know, we love LSU here. You know, you can drive, people have their houses painted purple and gold, right? Mm-hmm. The LSU fans. The LSU system is funded to about maybe $450 million, right? The State Department of Corrections is funded to the tune of maybe $850 and almost $1 billion. Mm-hmm. So as much as we love LSU in that educational system here, our Department of Corrections is double the most important educational system that we have here in the state. That's how,
that continues to fuel more mass incarceration. Right. It continues to destroy families. It continues to create crime and violence in our communities. That's why, also, because we got some of the those smart white people in America, we have the most violent state in America.
The other thing I get out of reading Jeff's report, using the Brookings Institute report on standard of living as a foundation of it, is that if poor communities are under siege for drugs and guns, right? Then if your investment is to punish them because of that, then they're under siege coming from two different angles. It's a no-win situation. I'm going to lock you up. I'm going to throw away the key for drugs and guns. And then on the other side, I'm not going to stop them from coming into your community. So where do you win?
And what happens is when you lock you up and throw away the key, that family is destabilized. That father usually now is in jail. He no longer can provide for his family. So his children are suffering. The wife is suffering. And then what happens is they are mired in poverty. And so the son of that father doesn't have any parental guidance. And so he's left to the devices of the streets. And so then we have an ongoing cycle of poverty that the government is creating.
Thank you.
And then nationally, it's like with more educated whites, you had gentrification going on, like Chicago, D.C. D.C. used to be known as Chocolate City, but now D.C. is less than 50% black. In Chicago, they've been moved out.
That's right.
From there, you have educated whites.
It's swirl.
Who are having their way with the black community also.
It's swirl right now. And look, in many cases, it's not about population shift or change, but based on the way Jeff is reporting and giving some of his intelligence here is that it really not about the numbers. If I can control the center of the city and an economic engine, I can push you to the edges. You can still be the majority population.
Sure.
But my legislation and how I fund the budget doesn't incentivize you to do better. It penalizes you in every area. So it's not just about the numbers anymore. It's about using that budget as an area to punish you. Thank you. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, talk more about that, please. Okay, thanks.
Absolutely. Line one, Brother Cedric Peace, you're on with Jeff Thomas.
Hi, good morning. I was listening to the last caller. I believe it's the state being lazy. Our politicians, or excuse me, politicians not having vision. For example, I work in the film industry. If you Google what is the financial impact of the film industry to the state of Georgia, it would tell you the fiscal year of 2015, $6 billion. It will tell you last year, $7 billion. So if the film industry was that profitable in the state of Georgia, why in the world are the politicians here in Louisiana, Democrat and Republican, saying that it's not profitable? As I close, the state is dependent upon oil. The state needs to diversify its industrial portfolio and get more industries here to support oil and gas while it's down. And I don't understand locally why our city council and mayor are not pushing for the, or lobbying for the film industry when this is the parish where most of the money is being spent. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. I understand the film industry. I did a movie last summer called One Month Out with John Schneider, formerly of the Dukes of Hazzard. They have Maven Studios. He does his productions. And
I forget you, the big actor.
Right here in Louisiana. Cedric, I understand what you're saying, but what John Schneider says that if we promoted the system we have for smaller filmmakers and more local filmmakers and develop the industry here in town, we wouldn't have to give away the store to the big guys. Now, something has to be done different. You know, hopefully they'll look at a system that's viable for everybody. But in talking to smaller filmmakers, if we would just invest in and incentivize folk for those two, second and third level movies now, we have enough incentives here in place already to make it work. But our state and our local government, that hasn't seemed to be able to figure that out.
Well, you're 100% right. And that is where we need to make changes. We have to. James Gill just came in.
James Gill.
He distracted me. I don't know, man. Hey, am I talking about?
Oh,
now?
Hell.
I feel so humbled. But let's talk a little bit about the film industry.
Right.
It was structured poorly. It needed to be
revisited, absolutely, and repaired, no doubt.
But it didn't need to be replaced.
Right.
And it didn't need to go away completely. And so, you know, all of that money that was coming here is now gone. It's going to Georgia, and it's going back to Florida and back to California.
Well, we can go back to the lines right now. 504-260-9265. A real important discussion about what are government budgets used for today? Is it the delivery of services, or is it about punishing America, and specifically poor black people in inner cities
about.
Right
that's
now?
That's what it's about.
Line three, Mr. Lawrence, you're on with Jeff Thomas.
Yeah, one of the most important things I heard this morning, and they all moved away from that, which everything you talk about is relevant, but was the family.
That's right.
The gentleman was saying that you got to do something with the family to show the family up. Well, that's what Lord Dennis is doing right now. He's showing the family up. I was watching a program with Norman Robinson the other day on television, and he had four young men there. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you those young men most likely won't wind up in nobody's jail.
That's right.
So, I mean, if you can keep them out of jail and get the family, I don't know what you can do to straighten the family up, because the family would destroy it coming across the Atlantic Ocean. But I'm saying now, that's where it starts at.
Right.
In the house, you always talk about the village to raise the child, but you never say the other part. Every hut makes the village.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's very simple. Start at the beginning, and then you solve some of these other problems.
He's 100% right. You know, the family is the most important part of this equation. It absolutely is. And I'm saying that the family has been destroyed by government, and it continues to be destroyed by the continuation of these government policies and through narrative bias.
Well, Mr. Lawrence, let me ask you a question, though.
Go ahead.
Let's say we get back to the family, right?
Right.
So this family is already under siege and is struggling. Mm-hmm. How does it help the family when you increase the...
Let me tell you something, man.
Listen to me.
Talk about your father
your
mother and
yes,
all
sir.
That.
Yes, sir.
My family was under siege way more than your family was.
Okay.
I went to school under your uncle.
Yes.
Over at Booker T. Washington.
Richard English.
And that man was, I don't know. He was a guard, man.
Richard English.
But what I'm saying now is
war hero.
But they set up structures in our under siege family.
Yes.
To keep us out of the police cars.
Yes.
And out of the jailhouse.
Yes, sir.
That we went to church. On a Sunday, sometime at night, we also had food, even though it might not have been what you wanted us to have.
Right.
But our family was under siege then.
Yeah.
But we found a way.
I agree.
You see, we found a way, and they set up programs in the house, outside the house, how to keep us out of what we're in today. And you didn't see all this chaos from a lot of us, like you see all these boys every morning marching across the TV. Four and five of them going to jail every morning.
But I agree with you that the family is a... But how do you get back to the family if the resources are constantly
drained? Well, for one thing,
drained.
You got social workers. Okay. And I don't know if you still have committees that go in the house and these people getting welfare.
Well, that's the problem.
If
listen, that's what we're talking
people
about.
To look and see, because you track animals, you put tags on them and all that. You can go in the house and see if that family is disruptive.
Thank you, Mr. Long.
And you can see if the children is not being taken care of. And then you have somebody to report to. You don't have to interfere in people's private lives, but you can come back and say, well, look, we're going to help you do this. We're going to show you how to do that. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife, and one quick thing. Me and my wife were in the grocery. A young woman came up to us and said, Miss, can you tell me how to make a cheap meal for my five children? My mother had never had to ask anybody that.
Right.
Never. We had corn and bologna sauce. We had grits and pork chops in the evening.
Potted meat and Vienna sausage.
A meal, man.
Spam.
He would take a can of pineapple juice, a big can of pineapple juice, and put it in a big pan.
Cut it.
With a little sugar. We had something to drink. I'm talking about now. These people don't even know how to make a meal.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence. Thank you.
Well,
appreciate you.
Mr. Lawrence brings up some important points. And
crawfish from Captain Cajun every day, even when they're not in season.
I thought you were going to say Al Scaramuza.
No,
he's 29 North. I think he is, as a matter of fact. I saw him recently on the West Bank. Yeah, he really is. He got a new line and stuff. Yeah. I'm not promoting it. But my point is that Mr. Lawrence made some points that we need social workers. We need to invest in our community.
But, Jeff, this is my question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, if the family is the solution, we agree to that,
yes,
right?
It is. Absolutely.
But if the family is the solution, if the family is constantly under attack, you got a traffic camera.
Right.
You got a penalty. You got a fine.
Upset the apple
daddy
cart.
Daddy taking out the
apple cart.
Minor felony. Little Johnny, schools
we
bad.
We need to do something
don't
to
have,
counsel.
Don't have community schools.
We need a mayor don't who believes in the people, who doesn't think we're violent. We need a council that's willing to do something. We have to have.
Let's go back to the line.
We need
right
people
now.
who are willing to make an investment in our folks.
On fire. Reverend Littleton, you're on with Jeff Thomas.
Hey, brother, how y'all are?
We're fine, leader, fine.
All of you young guys are my sons.
Yes, sir.
And I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do you remember Earl Amedee?
Yeah, I remember reading about him, yeah.
Okay. I just want to give you some about black history.
Okay.
Black people built this country, and they owe us now. And you was promised 40 acres and a mule. Damn the mule, give me the 40 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that I'm trying to tell you now, that they have a trillion of dollars, people crossing back and forward, going out of town, across the lake over there. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you can observe the cars coming from across the lake. There's plenty of money to be made. If you put the toll across the lake on those people, you can get some money. The city have more money, and they can do anything with it. So God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
God keep you.
Thank you. Thank you. Jeff, God, we've had the lines have been lit up. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of strong feelings about your comments. I just want to welcome back. The Brookings Institute has said that the quality of life for the last 7 years in New Orleans has constantly is beginning worse. It's headed in the right direction. The standard of living, I think, is how they appropriately put it.
Yes.
And you're saying that for the people that really need the investment, right?
Yes.
I mean, that report basically says that government at every level right now, and specifically the local level, have actually disinvested.
Yes.
They are targeting poor communities.
They've invested in the destruction of
the destruction. Willing partner in the destruction of poor communities.
Absolutely.
And government budgets right now, as they're structured, are not set up to provide services and to uplift people. Government budgets are structured today,
that's correct.
It is actually to devastate the worst communities.
Absolutely, positively, and it's what you see, and it's why we have this constant spiral of violence in our community. It is.
So as government budgets grow.
Yes. It is not that black people, listen, let me tell you something. Black people are not violent. Black people are not inferior. Black people are not prone to this criminal behavior. Black people are not criminals. Government policies have criminalized black behavior. Government policies have criminalized black people. And because of that, we have this ongoing cycle. And the way we stop it is this. Let me tell you, here's some solutions.
Okay.
I know we're running out of time.
Absolutely.
Listen, all nonviolent offenders, you know what happens? It's like it's a civil offense 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. It's like you get stopped for speeding. You don't go to jail. That's what government does. If they stop you for speeding, you go to jail. You go straight to jail. That's the effect that it has. You're on your way to work. Oh, no, not today.
That's
you're
an officer
going to jail.
Off the street, got to write a report, show up in court.
So
another violent criminal killing three people while that officer's off the street.
Well, let me tell you, what I suggest to you is this. If it's a nonviolent offense, that officer do that. He write a ticket. You don't go to jail. You get a summons. You go talk to a judge.
Frozen cup lady. Yeah,
exactly right. Well, I don't think you need to go after her
at all.
Right
now, the frozen cup lady, she's going to jail. Everybody getting arrested.
Absolutely. Everybody's going to jail. Exactly right. That's part of the problem. So all non-violent offenses. You don't go to jail. You get a summons. You get a ticket. Now, you have to go. You have to show up. You have to deal with the judge. Maybe you get fined. But there are some dangers in that. That's a slippery slope. But I tell you, it's a far better situation
than we
have right now, which is people going to jail.
Jeff Thomas, we got a couple minutes left. You know, government budgets are growing.
Yes, they are.
You know, I gave the analogy, the city right now has fewer people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised that no reporters have written about this. Mm-hmm. The city has fewer people now with the biggest budget it's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
The police department's budget, it's bigger than it's ever been.
Could you write something like that for Think 504?
The police department's budget is bigger than it's ever been with fewer officers.
Yes.
So who's minding?
Listen, law and order.
So when the city had 503,000 people, mm-hmm. it had a smaller budget. Mm-hmm. Now that it has 390,000 people, and you're saying that much of that budget, instead of investing back in uplifting communities, is actually whether it's the city budget, state budget, and the governor has admitted that budgets are outdated now.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that they're spending as much time on enforcement and penalizing communities as they are in investing in uplifting communities.
But also they are enriching a chosen crew of people, a select
select few.
Few people.
That's true.
Let's look at the police department, for example. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of police officers who are in the office. That's our problem. We have career desk-sitting police officers. They spend about a year or two. We have a culture of desk police. That's the problem. We have police who are sitting behind desks who are not on streets. If we just deploy the manpower that we have, we would be able to stop this violent crime. And so how do we stop the violent crime? There are several ways we can stop the violent crime. We can, first of all, decarcerate the jails because mm-hmm. we need those men at home supporting their families. Now, that's a big problem, but we need to support them with soft job skills and real job skills and real jobs. We have an infrastructure problem. The Sewage and Water Board has billions and billions and billions of
Jeff
dollars.
Jeff Thomas, you're not tough. People are not going to vote for you. You're not tough.
You're not tough
on crime.
That's exactly right.
You cannot get elected talking about investing in people.
Well, let me tell you, that's going to be...
You just lost your election.
Well, let me tell you, if you got to lie to get elected, that's okay, because that's what people are doing anyway. I mean, I'm fortunately not running. I'm laying out for you what's going to change the way our government interacts with us and stops putting us in jail. We need to stop that narrative bias. We need to stop that confirmation bias. We need to stop that implicit bias.
This Brookings Institute report on the decline of the standard of living, it really upset you, did it? Because it solidified everything that you'd been saying for the last few years.
Well, it didn't upset me. It codified, you know, what I was talking about. And for me, it made me, you know, more emboldened to even come on here and say
realities.
We got some real problems here, folks, and we need to upset the apple cart. We need to change the structure of government, which is outdated and broken, which is based upon a punitive approach to black people, which is based upon this narrative bias of black people are criminals, which is based upon this confirmational bias of black people as being prone to violence, which is based upon this implicit bias that we are afraid when we see a black man walking down the street. And so because we are built, this is inculcated into our brains. This is a part of our psyche. This is a part of what we
bottom line before you go.
I got to go. God dog.
But bottom line.
Yes, sir.
You're saying that the government ought to put as much effort in the citizens keeping money in their pockets and growing their budget.
Absolutely.
As they do.
I wish I had more time to talk about that.
And stripping the citizens and growing government's budget.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to stop.
Stop it.
Stop penalizing
the rape. Stop
people.
The rape. Stop the
raping our community. Stop putting people in jail for monetary gain. Instead, invest that money into people, and then we won't have this killing. Because it's our people that are dying. People don't care.
We got, you think our show was on fire. We got coming up, we got one of the gurus. We're going to ask him about
man.
Government today. He's seen and written about everybody mm-hmm. who's ever been in office in this town. James Gill, one of the great columnists and
the guy's English
journalist. Lord, Lord James Gill, guys.
He just sounds impressive.
After the break, well, he is impressive, and you're going to find out after the break. We'll be back.
I'm going to be listening.
Jeff Thomas, man, you started something. The lines are lit up. People are texting. They're tweeting.
Me too. Right.
We need to blow up these structures. Our government are funded right now and start all over.
Absolutely right. Go to Think 504. We're going to have a lot of stuff on there.
You promise to come back?
Whenever you have me, brother. I thank you for letting me come here. I tell you what, it really helps Think 504 grow, and the opportunity to talk to your audience is always special.
How can people subscribe one more time?
If they go to think504.com, there's a sign-up page, sign-up button.
We'll be back after the break.